Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
For those that may not know me, my name is Don Bernard, and I'm one of the elders here at Reach Church. What I have in my right hand is a tiny little paper ketchup cup. Okay? Now, most of you walked in, you did grab one of the cups, right? All right. So, you find these ketchup cups at some of your fast food restaurants, right? Wendy's. Kath and I, we went to Arby's this past week. They had them, you know, probably Burger King. Believe it or not, less than 1% of these tiny little paper cups ever reach their full potential. Now, that's a statistic I just made up. Just to get you excited about what I'm about to demonstrate. So you that have your tiny little paper ketchup cups, go ahead and grab it. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, if you look at your ketchup cup, you see all these little pleats in it, right? These little folds. So if you put your left hand, right hand over one of those folds, and you give it a gentle tug, it opens up, right? Now skip the next fold. Skip the next fold, hit the next fold, okay? So skip every other fold and open it up. Okay? Skip a fold, open it, skip a fold. And then all of a sudden, your 1 ounce tiny little paper ketchup cup is now, believe it or not, a 2 ounce tiny little paper ketchup cup. What you just did, you opened up the hidden capacity of that paper cup. You just unlocked the untapped potential of this tiny little paper ketchup cup. Now, stick with me. You know, I don't want you to go home and tell your neighbor, this guy in front of our church went nuts about these tiny little paper ketchup cups. All right? I don't go there. All right? But let me share the correlation for your consideration between that tiny little paper ketchup cup. We as Christians can often live with a very narrow vision of who we truly are with Christ. We tend to first see our flaws and perceived limitations. We walk through life carrying unfounded doubts that were never meant to be ours. We tend to miss our potential that many times is hiding in plain sight, just like the folds on this ketchup cup. Just like this tiny little paper ketchup cup, unlocking some of the hidden potentials required you to stretch it. And stretching can be very uncomfortable to us, right? We tend to like status quo. Why? Because we can be overly comfortable with status quo, right? Now and then you hear Heath talk about Paul David Tripp's book, Do You Believe? Right? Here it is, right? Pretty thick. And unlike systematic theology, this one's easier to read. Now, Paul David Tripp, he's the type of writer, he's got something to say, he gets in your face with it, okay? And that's what I like about it. Matter of fact, this book, the elders went through it, chapter by chapter, because this is all about 12 historic doctrines about changing our everyday life, the doctrines of Christianity. All right. And so Paul David doctrine in the chapter about sanctification, he says this. He cites there's a problem with many churchgoers today. He says they've become too satisfied with the way things are in their Christian walk. They become unknowingly satisfied with a little bit of theology, kind of a consumer's approach to local church, a cursory devotional life, a little bit of money in the offering plate, a little bit better marriage, and their kids a little bit more controlled, and some satisfying Christian friendships. He says we get too satisfied. And God desires infinitely more from us than he suggests that we desire from ourselves. The book of Acts reveals his passion for us, that God has for us to rise up and become true partakers of his divine nature. God is calling us higher. He's inviting us to step out in what is familiar and into his fullness of who God really called us to be. Not just a believer, but an active participant for Christ. God looks at his children and he sees unrealized potential, unclaimed promises, and untapped power. Yet we are so easily settled and content to rest in the field of comfort and satisfaction. Earlier this year, I believe God showed me that that was me. For those who don't know me that well, I'm not exactly a stand in front of a crowd kind of guy. I've always preferred working quietly behind the scenes. One-on-one, I can open up easily, but the moment there's more than 10 or 12 people in the room, I'm the guy who naturally kind of drifts towards a quiet corner and feels perfectly content just hanging out there. Anyone else like that? Yeah. Now, I still tend to see myself more like this than like this. Just being honest with myself. But earlier this year, I started to realize something, maybe more in me than I allowed myself to see. Like these tiny little paper ketchup cups, maybe there's still some potential that still is hiding in plain sight. Not long ago, I recognized I had a very narrow understanding of who I was in Christ. I saw myself mainly as a busy member of Reach Church. I held one of seven elder positions on the governing board. I did what I could physically and financially to support the church. I attended community groups, built good, solid Christian friendships, and honestly, I was perfectly content with my status quo. But as comfortable as the status quo may have felt, I believe God began nudging my heart, especially this year and that I didn't expect. It was subtle at first, just some moments, quiet whispers that made me pause. But over time, it became clear that he wasn't asking for my busyness. He was asking for all of me. Not just the parts that I was comfortable in, or in the roles I felt safe in, but the hidden parts behind my personality, my preferences, and honestly, my fears. Somewhere along the way, I realized I had been defining myself by what I did for the church, rather than who I was still in the process of becoming in Christ. That's a very sobering realization for me. I knew how to serve. I knew how to support. I also knew how to stay in my comfort zone and still feel useful. So I asked the Lord, is there more you want me to grow in? Is there something you want to unlock within me, some folds to unfold, some stretching that I've been too afraid stretch in? And the truth is, there was. God recently showed me that my narrow view of who I was in Christ included only a cursory of understanding of what I believe is one of the most important roles of a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if you promise to stay with me, I will explain. Let me tell you a story. This past January, I received an email from Aaron Marshall. Now, probably most of you don't know who Aaron Marshall is. He's part of a group of guys that were teaching apologetics at UNCW. Now, apologetics is the defense of the gospel. It's where that somebody says, how do you know Christ really rose from the dead? How do you know the Bible is really true? It was written by men. And so apologetics addresses those responses and puts it in plain terms and gives you facts. Ebony Ritter, I think she's still teaching a class on apologetics right now. Okay? So it's things that we've offered. Well, 3 years ago, Aaron and his wife Jess packed up the family, 5 kids, and moved from Wilmington to Utah County. His email was an update to me on how things had been going as their newly formed evangelical church continues to take root in the heart of a county firmly shaped by the Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. And I'll give you a little background. In Utah County, they did a census in 2024. Utah County has 756,000 people living in it. Of that 756,000, 78% of those people were registered Mormons. Only 5% registered Catholic, and less than 2% claimed to be evangelical Christians. He was going into the lion's den with his family. And something in that email where he was talking about it, starting this church, even opening a little coffee shop, which Mormons don't drink coffee. It's against their religion. It just tugged at my heart. And to the point where I decided I was going to get on an airplane and I was going to fly to Utah. I shared it with Pastor Heath, and he said two things. He asked me, why am I going? What's the reason for going? And when I would share this with other friends here, they asked me the same thing. Why are you going to Utah? You know? And so I, of course, obviously I thought about that, and I came up with three reasons. One, I wanted to support, and this church has been financially supporting the efforts of Aaron and Rocio Krishi in Utah for the last 3 years, okay? So I wanted to see what's going on. Is our money well spent? What's he doing? Second reason was I wanted to serve there. I told Aaron, get us involved. I want to see everything in your classrooms. Take us to Brigham Young University. I want to see. And then the third thing and most important thing, I wanted to be stretched. I was not satisfied with where I was at. Okay? So I wanted to be stretched, and what better way to be stretched was to go in the heart of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or Seventh-day. So, Heath, being a wise man as he is, he says, you need to take somebody with you. Okay, that makes sense. Kathy couldn't go with me because she was in the middle of her women's Bible study that had been going on for months. So I asked Zach Wicker. Zach, where you at? All right. I asked Zach Wicker to join me. And so in June of this past year, we hopped on an airplane and we landed in Salt Lake City, right into the heart of the Mormon church. We have countless stories we can tell you about those 4 days. And you buy us a cup of coffee, we'll be glad to share them with you. Because they're really good stories. Talk about opening our eyes to what it's like to go into an unchristian environment. An environment where they do not want Christianity in there. And that's obvious because it's less than 2%. We met a pastor there, Pastor Dustin. And he told us, I started a church here 3 years ago. Remember Dustin? He said, I started a church here 3 years ago. It's like, cool, how many people are on your Sunday service? He said, we got a little over 50. And he saw the expression on my face. I thought, 50? Yeah. And so he keyed in on that. He says, Don, I know what you're thinking. 50 people? He says, you don't understand. There's less than 2% Christians here, 2% evangelical Christians. So those 50-plus people, they're all conversions. We're not growing by transfer growth. We're not stealing from other churches. We're not having people that just kind of jump from Christian church to Christian. These are all conversions. So it's not about the number, right? It's about the souls. And that really opened our eyes. Every night, Zach and I would get to go back to our Airbnb, which was owned by a Mormon. I was surprised to find a coffee machine there. We would discuss, what did we see that day? What did we experience? We would stay up till very late at night because we were just brainstorming. We were just, did you hear what this said? Did you see how Aaron, when he was talking to this elder, how he got him to the point where he said, okay, you believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, your view of Jesus is a lot different than my view of Jesus. Would you agree with that? And the guy would say, yeah. It's like, okay, I got common ground now. We both believe in Jesus, just our views are different. So then he hit him with the question. If I could convince you that your view of Jesus is wrong, that it's not true, and my view of Jesus is the truth, would you be willing to leave the Mormon faith? And he says, that's the question that gets them. That's the question. If they say yes, he knows, let's continue the conversation. If they say no, he says, okay. Because that means it has nothing to do with what you believe or not. You're just hooked in tradition. And many of them get that way. I think many evangelical Christians get hooked in tradition. And they don't take the time to stop and ask themselves that three-letter word, why? All right? So, this is what, when we got back, our two key takeaways. I don't want to skip over there. Two key takeaways that we had coming out of that. One, we met a lot of very kind, very cordial, very friendly people. It was incredible. But those same people, very well trained. Very well trained. They knew exactly how to respond to our questions. They knew exactly how to share what they believe. They knew exactly how to retort when we questioned them about something that isn't biblical. Man, these people knew their stuff. And it didn't matter who we talked with, whether we talked with a student, whether we talked with an elder, whether I had one gentleman I talked to, his name was Phil, he was an alumni. These people were very well trained. That's what hit us, all right? And the second key takeaway is, how do we take what we just experienced here in Utah and bring it home to Leland? That's the question we needed to answer. If we didn't answer that question, our time in Utah, that flight, the money we spent for Airbnb and all the food and all that, wouldn't make any difference. So this is ultimately what led Zach and I to develop this special training curriculum for Reach. Initially, we called it Conversations 101. How's that for a clever title? And we finally changed it over to How to Start a Kingdom Conversation. Okay, and that's a session that we just completed. We had 22 people sign up for that. And I tell you, those 22 people, not diminishing anybody else, but those 22 people are very special to me. Because they stuck it out, they went through it, and they shared. They participated. They actively participated in what we talked about. So if you're going to put a title on my message today, that title would be Conformed or Transformed. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you really thought about the name of this church? When did you really think about it? We're called Reach Church, Reach Community Church, right? And this is still one of my favorite t-shirts, right? It has the three circles, and you got arrows up, in, and out. What's this arrow mean for Reach Community Church? What's this mean? Reach up, right? This is our vertical relationship to God, reaching up to Him, right? Praising Him, honoring Him, seeking Him for all that He is and all He wants us to be. Okay, the middle one. Reach in. That's our horizontal, okay, relationship with each other. Everyone in this room, especially if you have decided in your heart that Reach Church is going to be your church and your church family. That's the reach in. We cry for one another. We laugh with one another. We support one another. That's huge in today's society. That's why we call ourselves Reach Community Church. So this one is what? Reach out. Reach out is the tough one, isn't it? Reach out as in witnessing. That word can be quite scary for most of us, if we're honest. The scary part of the witnessing is not the what, but the how. And that's why we put that curriculum together, is to talk about the how, to give tools, to give strategies and tactics. And what does the how look like? So why is it so scary? Well, let's look at what the Word of God offers on this. Romans 12, verse 2, one we're all very familiar with, says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Let me stop right there. Do not be conformed to this world. Man, that's a tough one. This world has been getting us to conform almost since we've been born. I think about even just starting school. You're in class, work your hardest, do your best, get good grades, right? You go into high school. You hear the same thing. Work hard. Do your best. You want to make sure you're getting a good college. Right? You get into college. Guess what you hear? Work hard. Do your best. You want to get a good job. Right? And so then you get in a job. What do you hear? Work hard. Do your best. Get that promotion. You know? You'll get a bonus. Work hard. Most religions, you know, whether it be Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, the LDS, it's all about works. All about works. And then somebody comes along and talks to you about Christ and Christianity and about what it takes to get to heaven. And they go, forget works. That's not what it's about. It's about faith. Doesn't that kind of throw you for a loop? It throws a lot of people for a loop. Wait a minute. All my life, it's been work hard, work hard, work hard, work, 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 work. And you're coming along and you're telling me if I want to get to heaven, all I got to do is have faith and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and me and my household will be saved? I don't know. That goes so much against the world. Of course, the Bible says those that are friends with the world are an enemy with God. Must be something to it. All right, back to the scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but continue to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking differently. That's what that means, renewing of your mind. Thinking differently. So they may be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing, and perfect. Not too many things are perfect in this world. God's will is. So how do you transform? How do we transform our thinking? Well, quoting Heath from last Sunday, he made the comment, studying God's word will transform you. Let me add a few others. Developing a discipline of prayer will transform you. Being a doer of the word, and not just a hearer, will transform you. Regular examination of your life, priorities, and mindset, that'll transform you. Serving others transforms you. I remember one pastor saying, the problem with some people is they're so full of themselves, there's no room for the Holy Spirit. I'm striving for, I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for me. Because when I get involved, it don't go well. Okay? And then confessing and rejecting sin transforms us. Transforming is not an event. Okay? It's a process. It's a continuous process. See, in the flesh, we look into the mirror and we see weakness. Yet God sees warriors. We see limitations. He sees destiny. We see where we were, which is one of the worst things we do to ourselves. We play back in our mind, man, did you screw up there? Did you do that wrong? Did you? All about the past. That's not healthy. But that's where we go many times. We see where we were. God sees who we are becoming. So hear this, church. With a transformed mind, we finally begin to see ourselves through His eyes. Imagine seeing yourself how God sees you. I know for me, that would probably knock me off my feet if I really did. Strongholds would break, courage rises, and when we finally align our vision with His vision is when we dare to believe His voice over all the other voices we hear. Our potential just doesn't open, it erupts. It's potential that has been locked up for years, suddenly bursting open. We are not who the world thinks we are. You are not who the world thinks you are. You are who God says you are. So reaching out is not an event for a church schedule. So I stand before you saying, don't wait for something to get scheduled on the calendar that is under the title of church outreach. Okay? Really, reaching out needs to be a believer's lifestyle. So how does it become a lifestyle? Well, like developing a personal habit, you just intentionally do something over and over and over. Yeah. Instead of looking at it as witnessing, what we taught in the class is it's having a conversation season with respect and gentleness. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, in your hearts, honor Christ as the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, you don't have to use fancy words you need to be on fire for the Lord. You definitely don't want to say that if you're holding a match or a lighter. You know? They won't know what you're talking about. But they will know what you're talking about when you say you need to be excited for what God is doing. So just speak plainly. You're not in a conversation to impress, but to appeal. Now, in light of Thursday being Thanksgiving, and many of you will be breaking bread with family and friends, let me share with you some thoughts from the class. We called it bringing the gospel message home. And I thought it's very timely because a lot of families will be getting together. Some families, let's face it, get along better than other families. So this is an opportunity for you. First, consider your audience. Consider the strength or the weakness of that relationship, family member relationship. Consider that. Consider their own personal spiritual background. And if you don't know what it is, that's a great place to start a conversation. Using questions that come across more engaging than assertions that may have a judgmental tone. Have you ever shared your own story with your family? You know, what are some of the things you talk about after the dinner table is cleaned out and everybody's gone to the family room? Remember, the key is to have a simple conversation, a kingdom conversation. But I have to be honest, family can be the toughest to have a kingdom conversation with. When we were with the Latter-day Saints, Zach and I prepared literally over months for our trip. And by the time we left, we knew ahead of time what those people believe, what they'll probably come back with. We just didn't know how friendly they would be. In your preparation, you need to consider two potential, call them pushbacks. One, because they are family and they do know you, any unkind or offensive words that you've spoken in the past. They'll remember them. They may bring them up. You know, words are like that baseball that you toss. And once the ball leaves your hand, you can't get it back. The second, any actions or behaviors from the past that they've seen you demonstrate. Now, if you don't address those things, or be ready to address them, you're not going to have a kingdom conversation with them. Kathy and I know really good people. We would love for them to become believers, to be saved. But unfortunately, they witnessed people that called themselves Christians just do extraordinarily dumb things and say extraordinarily bad things. And so they have decided in their mind, if that's what it means to be a Christian, forget it. So, not saying that's happening to anybody out there, but if it does exist, you have to address that first, or they are not going to listen about the gospel. It may require a gentle, maybe even brokenness in your approach in sharing the gospel this Thanksgiving with a family or close friends. So let me have two suggestions for you. One, always apply a God-first filter in all your speech, all your behaviors you demonstrate. And two, if needed, you may need to repent to repair the relationship. Even if you don't think it's your fault. Even if you don't think, well, I shouldn't be saying I'm sorry, they should be. Does it really matter? So, you may need to repent before you can have that conversation. Colossians 3:17 says, "Where whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So think about this. We can be driven to do things or not do things because of fear. Likewise, we can be driven to do things and not do things because of courage, discipline, and faith as we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control." So here's my simple formula for a child of God. One, read your Bible daily. Then do what it says. And then the third thing is, tell others what the Bible says. Simple enough. So I have a special invitation to those who attended the Kingdom Conversation class, and for you too. But the ones that were in the class, you started this journey of walking out the Great Commission when you signed up for the class. So don't stop. Your confidence will grow by simply doing. Pray that God will show you opportunities to share the good news. Then don't fight against the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And step into the opportunity and see what God does. You have found your spark. Now don't retreat to old habits of being timid. Remember, you are not alone. What better partner to help you have a kingdom conversation with a needy soul than the Spirit of God, who's also referred to as the Spirit of Adoption? But that's not all I'm inviting you to do. Class, I want you to talk it up. Yes, talk it up with the family here at Reach. Share with others on Sundays or during community group sessions regarding what you have experienced. Let them know how you accepted the challenge to stretch your tiny little ketchup cup and realize your own untapped potential. Share with them your stories of even the simplest conversations you've had. Maybe even encourage them to stretch their paper cup. So each of us, at the minimum, we need to be praying for revival within our families and within our community. So let me ask you, which of these two paper cups do you kind of relate to? Okay? And then which tiny little paper cup do you want to be? And then the third is, are you willing to do what it takes? Romans 10:13-15. It starts with a promise. That promise is, "For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." But then it also submits a problem. But how can they call on the Lord if they did not come to believe in him? And how can they believe in him about who they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone to instruct them? And how will there be people to instruct them if they're not sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news." If I could have the worship team to come up. Just a couple final thoughts. Kind of like to-do list. And these I shared with the class. They all start with this week. Right? So this week, offer to pray for somebody. It's simply saying with a smile, "Thanks for sharing that with me. Oh, that's terrible. May I pray for you?" Next one, this week, identify one fear that keeps you from having a kingdom conversation with someone. Literally write it down. Write down what that fear is. And then look at it daily. And each time, surrender it to God in prayer until you have defeated that fear. This week, before each day begins, ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of someone to speak an encouragement word to. This week, do one intentional act of kindness for someone who doesn't know Christ. No strings attached. This week, ask God to open a door for one kingdom conversation. And oh, he will, but you have to be looking for it and ready when he does. But these are some of the challenges I presented to the class each week. And then at the beginning of the following class, one, two, maybe even three, four people would share what they did that week and how they stretched their little tiny paper ketchup cup and took steps that they never thought they would. How they intentionally took those steps to plant a gospel seed, even with their bug exterminator. Even though the Kingdom Conversation sessions are complete, I still hear from the class participants that share with me, either on email or on text, or they tell me here at church, how they used to think, I can't. But now they say, I did it. How cool is that? How wonderful is that? Church family, I believe we are quickly approaching a tipping point in our church where God is going to do something amazing. And I'm not just talking about breaking ground for our building, but that would be wonderful too. God's moving in our church, our families, our community, and I would encourage you to be an active participant of what God is doing right here in our backyard. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need you so much. We're just these tiny little paper ketchup cups that have potential to be so much more, to unlock the giftings and talents that you have placed within us. But sometimes we let fear overtake us. Sometimes we just say to ourselves, I can't do this. This is not me. But Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, you said, yes, it is. This is you. So, Father God, over each one of us, stand over us. Spread your spirit and say, yes, it is. Lord, we love you. We place our lives in you. And we also take up our cross and share the good news with those we love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.